Welcome to Street Faith, the podcast channel from the Empowerment Institute and One Rock Strategics. We're here to provide biblical perspectives and practical strategies for understanding the times and advancing God's kingdom right where you are. I'm your host, DJ Swanger, and I'm glad you're listening. Friends, we all want to be effective representatives of God's heart and God's kingdom as we go about life in the world. We want to recognize the needs of those around us and speak and live the truth in loving and practical ways. We want to be like David's wise advisors, understanding the times and knowing what to do right where we are. But some key questions continue to come up in response to our conference call conversations, having to do with actually hearing from God today. We talk a lot about intimacy with God being the starting point for understanding how to live as Christians. But while we acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and believe that He wants to extend His Lordship in practical ways into all the various areas of our lives and activities, we still wonder what it looks like in the details of 2016. How do we listen for His voice and direction as it pertains to our particular situations, our passions, our vocations, our finances, our relationships, and conversations with friends, family members, and even casual acquaintances, the stranger on the street, the cashier at the gas station, the teller in the bank? How do we recognize His voice and receive His word for our day-to-day lives? With these questions in mind, we've put together a special podcast, Receiving Your Word. This bonus episode of Street Faith has been produced as a supplement to our Marketplace Kingdom series, and its message builds on the one entitled Seeing and Hearing from God, which we released last March. It was recorded live at a regional training conference involving prayer leaders and participants from over 19 different denominations and streams. We hope you're encouraged, receiving your word.
The birth of Jesus Christ was the ultimate kairos moment. All of the action leading up to that point had pointed toward Jesus. All of the prophecy from Adam on was directed toward Jesus coming. Every expectation, every prayer, every intercession from Adam to Zechariah and Anna in the temple was pointing toward the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of that stuff, generation upon generation, year upon year, layered up to build up a character where the moment was so pregnant with the power of God, it had to burst forth. There was nothing in heaven, in hell, on earth that was going to hold that back. That's a kairos moment. It's a pregnant moment. How many of y'all, guys, you can keep your hands down. How many of y'all have had babies? Okay. There's a moment where there's a transition that occurs. You know, I went through it three times with my wife, and you know, where the stuff. You know, there's a moment. There is not any amount of thing that's going to stop that baby's coming. You know, you can all you want. He's on the way, and we are living in a moment like that right now. I had a dream a while back, and in this dream, I saw Rick Joyner. Now, I don't know Rick personally, and when you have dreams or visions, often God will put a person in there. The person has nothing to do with what he's saying to you. They are symbolic of something. Rick represents, in my prophetic lexicon, a teacher in the prophetic, an authority in the prophetic. Okay, and literally in a schoolroom, in a classroom, We were looking down, and Rick was teaching up front, and he was making this point, really emphasizing this point. Every prayer, every expectation, every anticipation, every prophecy from Adam on up to Zechariah made the time pregnant for Jesus coming. We all accept that. What we choke on and what we have trouble accepting is that Starting with John 17, every prayer, every prophecy, every expectation, every intercession from Adam up through Jesus, up through the generations till now, has led to this moment that we are in right now. We are at a pregnant moment on that timeline, and it has all built up to now. You are sitting here right now because the generation before you poured themselves out in intercession. We are receiving the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the restoration of the apostolic and the prophetic to the churches. We are seeing the fire of God fall in the Methodist Church, in the Christian Reformed Church, in the Reformed churches, in mainline denominations, in charismatic denominations. We are seeing the fire of God fall because little women sat and prayed with their Bible and their Psalter and wept and prayed Scripture for generation after generation after generation. And we need to honor that. We need to honor those generations and not curse them for what they didn't see. We need to honor them for the call to intercession that God laid on them and the obedience that they had to the Holy Spirit to keep the flame alive and pass it on to the next generation. And every expectation and prophecy has led up to you being here, and you are part of the story. You are now part of the story that leads up to the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not an observer standing back. That thing you feel rising up inside you, that adrenaline that you feel, that thing, that twinge, that bubbling up, that's part of the power of God pouring himself out into the atmosphere, preparing for the clouds to part and Jesus to appear. And we have the privilege in this season to be a part of that. We're talking about receiving your word today. Hearing from God, or receiving a word from God. That's another language thing. And, you know, I'm going to throw it out, but let's be careful to try and be real. We talk about taking prophecy to the streets. Let's be careful to try and be real with all of this and not use a bunch of God talk, because people don't understand it. They look at you like you just hit them with a fish. You know? I have something I want to impart to you. Okay. I have a word from the Lord. You know, just say, you know, look, this may sound really peculiar to you, but, you know, I love Jesus, and sometimes he tells me things for people. And I think he's telling me something for you, if you would privilege me to share that with you. And just go on and share. You can leave the thus saith the Lord's at the door, because they don't impress anybody. And if it's from God, you don't need to tell them that that confirmation is going to rise up inside their spirit as deep calls to deep. Yeah. Just some practical stuff. Just let's lose the God talk. It's a language most of the world doesn't speak. And if we want to be able to speak to them, we need to learn their language. So hearing from God or receiving a word from him is inseparably tied to how intimate we are with him. Every time you hear me teach, I'm going to hammer on intimacy. Because that's what I'm all about. I'm all over intimacy. Nothing else matters to me. I am a person who is just overpoweringly obsessed with the presence of God. That is what shakes my world. Everything else is defined by that. So do you want a word from God? Anybody here who does not want a word from God? Does not want to hear from him? Okay. Do you want a word from God? How hungry are you? How desperate are you? Yeah, I want a word. No, I want a word. You know, I'm hungry. I am desperate. I got to hear from you, God. I got to hear from you on a daily basis. I talked last night about Moses and that mouth-to-mouth thing, Numbers 12:8. Moses had this relationship with God. It was like a husband and a wife, so close that they weren't speaking face-to-face. They were almost speaking mouth-to-mouth. And that wasn't Moses' claim. That was God's claim about Moses. If you go to that passage, Moses isn't saying, hey, I got this thing going with God. God was testifying to the people, you pay attention to this man. Don't touch my anointed. You pay attention to him. Other prophets I talk riddles to. This one I talk to mouth to mouth. Right there. We have that kind of intimate relationship. Samuel. I had another dream one time, and I'm just going to throw these things out to you, these dreams, because that's how God talks to me most of the time. I move in what's called the knobby prophetic thing, you know, like you know what we were doing last night, where you just pray for somebody and the Lord starts to bubble up with a word. I can move in that. That is not my primary anointing. If I step out there where there's no net, God will honor that, and I usually get a hit. But primary way in which he speaks to me is in a role as a seer. He speaks to me through dreams and visions. And, you know, I'm not even going to go there as far as old men and young men stuff, you know. I had this dream, and in the dream, I saw this old man. And I thought it was Moses in the dream. For the longest time, I thought this was Moses that I was seeing in the dream. There's this old man, and he's got this long hair and this kind of shaggy beard and a staff. And he is in this tent, and there's this box in the tent. And he's just praying, leaning on the box, just praying. And as he prayed, light started to come out from all the seams of the box. The light inside the box couldn't be held in by the box. It just was coming out every seam and crack in that box. And as it did, it transformed him. He took on that glory from that light and began to glow. That was one of the reasons I thought it was Moses. And then I was praying just about a year ago, I was praying about this dream. And the Lord said, no, it's not Moses in that, it's Samuel. And I wasn't sure why that was so significant. And he said, look at Samuel's life. From the time he was 5 years old, he lived in the Holy of Holies. He slept next to the Ark of the Covenant. He made his bed there. That's intimacy. We need to make our bed by the Ark of the Covenant, by the Ark of His presence. If you want to hear from Him, get hungry for Him. Press into Him. Paul says, earnestly desire or lust after the spiritual gifts. I think we've established that. Lust after him. I mean, be passionate for it. You know, yeah, I want that. I hear people say sometimes, I said to God, you know, well, if you want that for me, lay it on me. Once in a while, God will honor a prayer like that because if you give him an opening, he'll drive a truck through it. If you give him a sincere opening. But it is his heart to be pursued after passionately. Wives, do you want your husband on the way out the door to go, yeah, baby, I love you? Husbands, do you want your wife to just plunk your dinner down in front of you and go, there, I'm going to go read the paper? No, they desire intimacy. Your mate desires to be passionately pursued still. And God desires communication with us that is born of passionate desire, of hunger for one another. And when he senses that hunger coming from us, he's going to respond with that same passion, with that same fire. He's going to pour that fire of his passion for you into you. He wants persistence on our part. Seek and you will find. When you get a word, when he does give you a word, how do you treat it? Are you like the guy who is waking from a dream? Wow, that was really awesome, God. And, well, write it down. Well, I'll get to it. You know, I've got to have some coffee. And then by the time you have the second cup of coffee and finish your Danish, you go, what was that all about? I go through seasons of hearing. He lets up once in a while. Because you got to catch a break once in a while. I go through seasons of hearing, and when I know I'm in that season of hearing, I tend to keep a pad where I can get up and write it out. Do that. Get in the habit of just keeping a pad with you. Just keep something with you all the time. You know, if God starts speaking to you, if he takes you into a season where you're going to hear, even if it's just something that pops into your head and you're not sure at that moment if it's God or if it's pizza, write it down and then pray over it, and he'll tell you. You know, people go, well, yeah, I don't know. You know, it could be, I just, you know, this sandwich last night, and, you know, I always get weird dreams when I eat mushrooms. Fine. Write it down anyway. And then pray about it later, and God will confirm through people that you love and Scripture and His Spirit witnessing inside you whether it's Him or not. But take those words and hold on to them. And when you know they're from Him, hold on to them passionately. Seize them. Matthew 11, 12 says, the kingdom of God, even up until this time, suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. We're not going to take the kingdom of God by being wimpy. We're going to take the kingdom of God by being mighty men and women of valor who seize the kingdom forcefully in the Spirit. I heard a brother say one time, if you get up in the morning and walk down, you know, this is farmer stuff, okay? You know, if you get up in the morning, go down, find a pig's got out, and one of them came in the back door and he's sitting in the middle of your living room, you're not going to go, oh, you darling thing, get out of here. You're going to stomp your foot and you're going to go after him with a broom or whatever you can lay your hands on and drive that thing out of your house. So why do we treat demons differently? Oh, I know there's spirits that have come, you know, I've got this stuff that came from my family back there generations ago. And it's still on you? What's up with that? Let's get rid of it. If you got something like that going on now, I just invite you to corner one of the people here. We'll set you up with some folks that will take you through a process and get that stuff off you quick. Sometimes it will take like 8 hours, but hey, it's the best 8 hours you're going to spend. Seize it forcefully. Seize the Word of God forcefully. Seize your destiny forcefully as He speaks it to you. Yes! I was privileged in 2000 to go to Argentina. I mentioned that briefly yesterday. One of the people that we were down there with was Tommy Tenney. And Tommy has a phrase, God shows up when people are more interested in divinity than dignity. When we stop being bothered about crying in front of 100 people, then he's going to show up. Are you willing to lay down your dignity in favor of divinity? In favor of having the presence of God show up and do what he's going to do, if it means just being a soggy mess by the end of the day? Then God will show up and start talking to you. That's how desperate you need to be. And he will show up and start talking to you and loving on you passionately. Father, we just release your passionate love and hunger for your people. This day, we want to receive from you. We want to press in. Psalm 63:8 says, my soul follows hard after thee. I chase him. I chase him hard. I run so hard to catch up. That's what's going to change this world, is people who pursue after God because they know it's the season to do it. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, we find the record of the incident where the Ark of the Covenant has been out of the city for a long, long time. And David's assembling all these different people to bring it back in. And he has a contingent specially chosen from one of the tribes, the sons of Issachar, and he chooses them for a very particular reason. We know about Issachar, if you study, they had a reputation. They were warriors. They fought with Deborah. They were on the front line with Deborah the prophetess. And David knew this about them. But the reason he picked them is because they were mighty men of valor. They were warriors. And they were discerners of the times. It says he chooses them because they knew the times and they knew what Israel should do. And at that moment, the thing that Israel should do is to get that ark back into Jerusalem. Bring the ark of the presence back into the center of the life of the country, of the people. That's what we need to be as a church, is a people who are passionately pursuing the bringing of the Ark of the Presence back into our center. None of this is about anything except the presence of God. He will speak. He will speak. So how do you receive a word from God? How do you receive a word from God? It's in the notes, okay? Okay. Okay, we'll try one more time. How do I receive a word from God?
Listen.
Yes. Okay, listen. Sometimes things are so simple that it takes a book and a theologian to mess them up and make them hard. How can it be that simple? How come people haven't been hearing from God all along? Because they stopped listening. I became a Christian in 1971. The people that discipled me, they were on fire for evangelism. They loved Jesus with all their hearts. But they had for generations been taught that the gifts of the Holy Spirit ended with the death of the last apostle. And that God just flat out doesn't speak and act this way anymore. He speaks and acts through His Word. And they didn't understand internal inconsistencies of their system of belief. And I'm not going to go into those right now, but there are many of them. But I was discipled in that stuff. So the first few years that I was a Christian, I was having these experiences, but I didn't have any kind of theology to hang those experiences on. I didn't have the hooks to put those things on to be able to make sense of them. People were telling me, you know, this tongue stuff is of the devil. And I found when I was praying that there was this thing that kept trying to bubble up. And I'm going, ah, get away from me. I would have dreams and I go, wow, that was interesting. And then go on about my business. You know, I got a really vivid dream life. That's interesting. You know, God's not going to speak, for the most part, unless you're listening. Again, if you got a friend, a person who claims to love you and be in relationship with you, and they just read things that you write to them, but never talk to you, or they talk to you but never listen, pretty soon you're not going to hang around them. You'll still write to them occasionally, but you're not going to want to hang around them because all they do is run their mouth all the time. And that's what we do with God. We come before Him, and the first thing we do, we hit the floor talking. And we run our mouth, you know, oh, Lord, you know, and Lord knows, we tell Him how to solve the situation. We pray and we spend hours on our knees telling God how to fix the thing. When we should just come before Him and say, Lord, I don't know how this prayer thing works. It honestly to this day doesn't make any sense to me, Lord, why you even need me in the equation, but you've chosen me to be a part of it. And according to your book, there's no plan B. So I'm a part of this and I lay this situation before you. I'm listening. What do you want done? You show me what to do, I'll do it. But if your cloud doesn't move, I'm not going there. That's Moses. If you go, I'm sure not going. Have you seen those people? Okay, back on track. That's why I give you the notes, so you know what I was supposed to talk about. How do I receive a word? I receive a word by understanding the kairos moment in which I stand. You have to come to a place where you understand that you are a person of destiny, that this is real stuff. This is not a game. You are a part of that timeline. You are a part of that kairos, fullness of time thing that's bringing in Jesus. The book of Romans says the whole creation groans in anticipation of the manifesting of the sons and daughters of God. That's us. Now, people will read that and they'll say, well, that's when Jesus comes back. If it's when Jesus comes back, the creation doesn't need us to be manifested. Jesus is coming back for a bride who's already without spot and wrinkle. You can check it out. Go home, read it, you know. I said, Jesus is coming back for a bride who is already without spot and wrinkle. Okay. That doesn't mean we're going to walk in sinless perfection. What it does mean is we're going to walk in maturity. And the things like happened last night will not be extraordinary. We'll never become bored with them. They won't be so common that it's... But they will become the normative way in which we walk and move. Going out in the street and getting a word for somebody in the gas station should be the normative thing for Christians. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and these signs will follow you. And the signs confirm. At what point in history did we stop needing to have confirming signs? Hooks to attract people's attention. And then the authority seizes their hearts. It's about the revelation of Jesus Christ. How do you receive a word? Walk in a quality that is the norm. You receive your word and cherish it. You meditate on it. You listen, you catch it. You're reading scripture. God says to you, this is for you. How many times have you done that and you go, nah, that's these Bible people. God's been talking to us, but we don't listen. We set it aside as kind of spiritual white noise. Who do I think I am? You read that, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And you go, wow, that would be cool to do that. And then you think, yeah, but that was back then, those were apostles. And you blow it off that way when actually that was the Spirit of God rising up inside you saying, you know, it would be really cool if you would do that. Does the Spirit of God say things like, you know, it would really be cool if you do that? Yes, he does. You know, he speaks your language. He doesn't say, it would be very cooleth if you did that. Expect God to speak to you in a way that you understand. We used to do a watch of the Lord at Madison Square Church when I was over there. We went on for several years on a biweekly basis, going through the night on Friday night. And it was tied in with Mahesh and Bani Shabda and the Watch of the Lord movement. And there's some powerful stuff went down there. And God invariably would show up and speak. And the Watch of the Lord that we do at the prayer center is quite similar to that, in that, no two are ever alike. God just shows up differently and does something unique every time. But this one particular night, we had been worshiping and we were exhausted because we'd been dancing and stuff. And we sat down and gathered just in this circle. And as we sat and became quiet and fell silent, there was a knocking that occurred. You know, like, just as loud as that. This is a natural, audible sound. Everybody in the place heard it, okay? But it wasn't coming from the door. It was coming from the ceiling. The thing about the room we were in is there's nothing above there. That's the roof. It's a tongue and groove slope ceiling like this one, and it's the roof of the building. And it was 3 o'clock in the morning. There's nobody up on the roof going, okay. So we're sitting there looking at each other going, what do you do when God knocks? Yeah, exactly. What do you do when God knocks?
You let him in.
That's right. You let him in. You answer. Yes, Lord. If you really want to hear from God, you listen. Be open to his voice. Be open to receive the word he gives. Other times, God will speak to us and we don't receive it. Oh, Lord, show me what to do. I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what to do. Well, I'd like you to take this step and this step. Anything but that. How about over here? What can I do, Lord? Oh, what's it? Well, I want you to stop. Lord, what should I do? You don't receive what he says. If you don't listen to what he says, eventually he's going to stop talking to you. I heard a tape by Frank Peretti one time. He placed this picture in my mind of God, that there are just times when God is standing in heaven looking down at us going, Gabriel, come here, check this out. He just can't believe it. Even God, you know, just goes, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things that I tell you to do? When we read it in the King James, it just comes across, you know, it's another one of those passages. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I... You know, he's talking to these guys he's been with his whole life. You know, or, you know, some of them, he's been with guys like this. You know, he was a carpenter. You see that up there? It's supposed to have drywall on it. And you got to know that Jesus talked to his disciples, these fishermen, these raw guys, and he's got to come to these times where he's teaching them, and he stops mid-sentence, and he goes, you know, why do I bother? Why do I talk to you when you don't do what I tell you? I could get a tape ministry and just send this stuff out through the mail and not have to spend all this time with you. People are really quick to cry false prophet. Oh, yeah, he missed it. He didn't have an accurate word. You know, they don't very often. You don't very often say, that person's a false listener. They don't hear. You know, they hear, but they don't do what they're told. You know, that's a false listener. Or a false hearer. I share a thing that happened to me when we went to Argentina. I just have to say, when I went down there, in the course of about 10 days in Buenos Aires, I think I spent as much time horizontal as I did vertical. The power of God just knocked me out about 10 hours into the thing. A brother named Paul Cox prayed for me. We were down there as intercessors for this conference. And he never even got a chance to touch me. He just came up. He said, Lord, fire, and shot me across the room. And I just pray that for you guys, and I pray that God is going to pour out his fire at this conference, his prophetic fire at this conference today. More. Father, more. Just more of your presence. More. More of your fire. Just what we have, we give. Your fire. Mas. That's Spanish for more. Mas. Fuero. So we're in country about a day, and we're invited to go and be a part of a service at the church of about 10,000 members in downtown Buenos Aires called Cathedral. And they're mainly a cell group church. They meet in small groups, and they meet not really weekly. They meet every couple of weeks in this indoor soccer stadium. They have these soccer stadiums like we have Gymboree, you know, the little commercial things. They have these soccer stadiums down there that are inside for our version of T-ball. And they meet, and they just back a semi up to the door of this thing and start unloading rosin chairs. And they fill it up with 10,000 rosin chairs, and they go in and they have church. And then they haul them out of there, and the people go back. So we're in here, and we go in for this, and there's a group of us that are international students for the conference, and we are treated like royalty as guests and people there to pray for the country. And there's this usher, she's about 17, who speaks zero English, which was just a click below my mastery of the Spanish language, and he leads us to our seat, right? And as we exchanged, you know, greetings, and he leads all of us to our seats. We had a special section, and then went about his business. The kid just kind of caught my eye. And we're sitting there, and Tommy Tenney was speaking that night, And he's just tearing up the stage like Tommy does, and it's just an awesome time. And at one point, he starts talking about humility and blessing, and I start getting these things. God spoke to me, or I heard something speak to me in my spirit. It said, you know that kid that led you to your seat? I want you to wash his feet. I went, I'm tired. I just flew in on a 13-hour cramped international flight with three bad kung fu movies in Spanish, and I'm exhausted, and boy, white noise is interesting down here, and I went back to watching Tommy and listening to him, and time went on, and again I get, no, I want you to wash that kid's feet. Yeah, right. Here we are in a conference, or this, you know, another country, and you know, this big guy's up here, and you know, so who do I think I am? You know, white noise. How profoundly arrogant is that? And I set it aside. And a third time, about 5 minutes later, this rose up inside of me again. It said, turn around, he's sitting three rows immediately behind you, one seat to the left. I turned around and he was sitting three rows behind me, one seat to the left. God said, I want you to wash his feet. In the meantime, Tommy had stopped what he was doing in his sermon, had gone down and gotten one of the pastors and had brought him up and had begun to wash the guy's feet. And I said, oh, yeah, right. You know, this guy, you know, they're going to think I did this because he's doing that. And just making an impression. The internet, the guy from another country here making an impression. I can't now. And I was like, the Spirit began to rise up one more time and said, wash his feet. I said to my spirit, I said, I am trying to see what's happening up here. And I told this story, and my daughter, Sarah, who's sitting over here, she goes, you shushed God? At that very moment, Tommy stood up on the stage, turned and looked over at us and said, you know, I wish some of you would do what God is telling you to do. Oh. I said, all right. I got up. I climbed over three tiers of chairs. Went back there. I had a bottle of water. Oh, the other thing he told me, you have a bottle of water. You have that big bandana you always carry around with you and a bottle of water in your pack. I always carry that brown leather pack over there. Okay, there's a bottle of water in your pack. Get up and wash the kid's feet. So I snatched up that bottle of water and I climbed over the chairs and I took off his shoes. I said, you know, come here and I took off his shoes. As I did that, it was like a wind came in. It wasn't because I did something. It was just something broke in the spirit. A wind came in. People were all over the floor through this place. The power of God fell and was released and broken. I was at that moment being a false hearer myself. And I just confess that to you. I didn't know how to listen in that way. And a lot of times, that's our problem. We just flat don't know how to listen like that. We need to attune ourselves to recognize the Master's voice and to separate it from the white noise. Because all of us have all this spiritual white noise just bumping around in our brain and our hearts. You know, oh, I'm worried about this. Did I turn off the iron? Should have filed the taxes on time. I should have filed the taxes on time. You know, we got all this stuff. And when God slips something in and goes, yeah, you should have, but I'm going to bless you and we do this. Or, you know, you see that sister back there in the green check? I want you to just tell her that I love her. He loves you so much. A lot of times a prophetic word that you get isn't some great earth-shaking shift of direction. It's just a word of encouragement and exhortation and edification. You're going to do exploits. He's called you into a warrior type of a mode. And you're not going to have to go out after them. They're going to show up on your doorstep. Okay. So the confirmation for this will come within a week. You're just going to see the battleground start to open up in front of you. And a lot of it's going to be spiritual warfare in terms of praying deliverance. Okay. You're going to start to see where he wants to move you in that. But it's a warrior thing. And you're going to take the lead in it in ways that you haven't already. You just step out into it. He'll speak to you and you just start to get stuff. Wow, you really do love me, don't you? This destiny thing isn't for somebody else. It really is for me, isn't it? Wow. And you, the real definition of a personal kairos moment is a wow moment, you know? Where you just kind of, God just lays your hair back. If you're not prepared to let him lay your hair back, then you're not going to hear. I already laid it way back. You have it. It's laid back. Obstacles to receiving your word are things like quenching the spirit. The word says, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. It's funny that Paul ties those two together in that passage. Despising prophecy is one of the primary ways in which the spirit is quenched. Hard, fat hearts are obstacles. I say it that way because the passage that Hal and I both read last night about you have eyes to see but you see not, ears to hear and you hear not, that passage can be translated a couple of ways. It can be translated because their hearts have grown hard. It can also be translated because their hearts have grown dull. It can also be translated because their hearts have grown fat. Some of us have dull hearts. God speaks and we just kind of go, duh, huh? We just haven't become accustomed to hearing, and as a result, we're not sharp prophetically. We're not sharp spiritually. Others of us have just grown lazy. We just haven't exercised. Your hearts have grown fat. And a fat heart is a weak heart. It's a heart that's ready for a heart attack. And some of you have hard hearts. I can throw my word at it and it just will bounce off. It just will, you know, I've got to really take out a chisel to get through with it. The solution to a hard heart is to receive the promise of the covenant God, who says, I'll take the heart of stone out of them and I'll put into them a heart of flesh and I will write my word on their hearts and they will be my people and I will be their God. That's a covenant God's promise. I'm going to change them from what they are into something that they are becoming. Kim Clement, a brother from South Africa that I go to hear periodically over in Detroit, he prophesies in rap. I'm not R&B, you know, I can't do that. My leg doesn't go that direction. But he prophesies in rap, and he goes, you're somewhere in the future, and you look much better than you look right now. You're somewhere in the future, and you look much better than you look right now. He's taking you from what you are and making you into a people for his own purpose, making you into a new people. Yeah? He's taking the heart of flesh out. Lord, we invite you, if we have hardness in our hearts, to take that heart of stone out and put in a heart of flesh and write your word on it. Write your word on it. Oh. One thing that we don't say very often, but it occurred to me as I was coming over here yesterday that I should probably say to you, is that our ultimate job, our ultimate desire is to put ourselves out of a job. Okay? So we don't have to tell you. We don't have to draw you together to experience the fire of God, because you have the fire of God going on in your homes and you have it going on in the streets and you're carrying it out and you're setting fires. We're about the equipping of the saints. We want to put ourselves out of business in terms of somebody having to come to this little spot on a strip mall on 44th Street, but that the fire of God falls in this region, in the streets. And I will write my laws on their hearts, and no man will have to teach his brother saying, do this or that. An obstacle to receiving your word is chasing the buzz. People are so caught up in prophetic experience that they miss the giver of the experience. You're chasing after the next spiritually chic experience. Oh, pray for me. Make me fall down. I want to tell you, I don't touch people when I pray unless I ask, and then I just gently lay my hands on. If I pray for you and you fall down, it's because the Spirit knocked you down. Or if you fall down, it might be because you hit a slick spot on the ramp out here. But people fall down because they can't stand up anymore. Because the weight of glory comes on them so strongly. If you're going to chase something, chase the weight of glory. Chase the presence. And the buzz isn't... You know, don't get me wrong, I like the buzz. Sin... You know, if you have overt sin in your life that you're cherishing, and when it rears its head, you just invite it to come on in and have a chair, you're not going to hear much from God, except my counseling style. And I think that's kind of what God does in those sin situations. Just admit it and quit it. That's why I don't do the seven steps thing. I don't have that mercy gift to go all through all those steps. You know, somebody goes, oh, I do this and I got that. Admit it and quit it. They don't put me on the prayer counseling team. And false humility will stand in the way. You don't get the destiny piece. Romans 12:2 talks about how God transforms our minds. And one of the things he transforms us for is so that we can judge rightly. We don't look at ourselves as being slugs, but we also don't look at ourselves as being, you know, I'm this spiritual thing, I'm going to tear the place up. We judge ourselves rightly. Wow, I'm a person, I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. I'm in a place to step into His anointing. You and you, both of you guys, God is going to bring you more and more clearly into a place where you see an anointing moment almost like a curtain. You can sense in your spirit this place of power where if you pass through it, it's like passing through a curtain, almost like static electricity. And if you pass into that, you will step into that kairos moment, that place of ministering in power. He comes in waves. Failure to credit God, I have a box around this because it's such an important thing. Failure to credit God for what He is doing in your life through the Holy Spirit is siding with the enemy. God is changing me. If I don't give Him credit for that, then I'm siding with the enemy when He says, you'll never change. False humility will rob you of your prophetic destiny. The Spirit is now in a season of calling forth children of God to manifest His glory and His presence. So I'm going to blaze through this last part. This is all very just practical stuff, folks. You recognize your word in several ways. First, it's proven by testimony. You get a word, you think it's from God, you hear or sense something, you think it's from God. You prove it on the basis of the testimony of three witnesses. The first witness is the Scripture. And Scripture is something more than just written. There's a Greek word there, theopneustos, that describes this passage. It's the breath. Theopneustos is breath of God. Scripture is the breath of God. Any person who says they're walking in the prophetic, they've started to reach a point of prophetic maturity where they, you know, God just speaks to me directly. I don't read that anymore. I don't have to do that anymore. You're in deep trouble. Every word has to be judged on the basis of Scripture. Scripture will provide you at least with the parameters within which a word can function. It'll draw a corral. And as long as you're inside that corral, then there's other witnesses that will speak. But the Scripture gives you the boundaries. And if you get a word that's outside those boundaries, it's not from God. Doesn't matter what you feel or what somebody else tells you. If it violates the Bible, it is not from God. All Scripture is God-breathed and given for doctrine and reproof, etc., etc. It's profitable. All Scripture is God-breathed. There is such a thing as sound doctrine. Doctrine is not a dirty word, folks. And quite often we seem to be saying that when we press into hearing from God and being one in Jesus, there is sound. There are pet doctrines, you know, pet teachings. We have that phrase, and I hope you don't think that we mean that doctrine is unimportant. Doctrine is very important. Just, you know, the pet ones that fight with each other. Just chain them up to the posts outside the door, okay, because they'll snarl when they get inside. Yeah. You can feed them and keep them if you want to. Just don't bring them in, you know, because they'll fight with mine. And he's got first dibs because it's my place. Yeah. But doctrine, sound doctrine, you know, the Bible talks all the time about sound doctrine. So it's got to be pretty well presupposed that there's such a thing as unsound doctrine. And the only way to be aware of that is by intimate understanding of Scripture. And by the same token, how do we recognize false prophecy? How do we recognize experiences that are outside the bounds of Scripture, but Scripture doesn't specifically talk about them? Or outside the bounds of godly authenticity, I should say. Well, we recognize things that are not of God by being so intimately aware of the things that are of God that we can recognize the counterfeit. You immerse yourself and study the things that are authentic, and then it becomes simple to recognize the fake. We recognize the word by the witness of the body. There's wisdom in many counselors. That's why we're told in Hebrews to not forsake the gathering together of the saints. I can't tell you the number of people that I have conversations with in the course of a month who, you know, I'd like to come over and I'd like to get a session. Somebody will call or we'll be talking. I'd like to do a session over there. Come in and pray and lead one of your times. And well, where do you fellowship? Well, I'm not tied to a church. Yeah, I don't think that's of God. We're in a season of listening to God and not listening to men. Okay, well, you can listen someplace else, Ace. Because here we believe in not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together as a body, because we need each other. And we really want you to look at our schedule and look at all that white space that doesn't have people involved in it and invite you to come in and be involved in it. But know ahead of time that we're going to have someone fill out a personal reference and we're going to get a reference from your pastor. And if you don't have a pastor, then you can't get a reference from one, can you? We want a reference from your pastor because we want to know that you're plugged in and that you're not, you know, a spiritual butterfly Christian running around going, little here, little here, little here. You can't grow like that because you got to be under authority. You simply got to have a body. And then there's the inner witness of the Spirit. And that inner witness of the Spirit, that pressing in, that place of intimacy, is where you learn to distinguish between the voice of your lover and the voice of the pizza you had last night. People always raise that question, you know, especially to people like me who get a lot of stuff through dreams. Well, how do you know it wasn't the sandwich you ate last night? Partly because I usually eat something every night before I go to bed, but I don't always hear from God every night when I go to bed. That's part of the reason. But the other reason is that I know my Father's voice. My sheep know my voice. Authentic and trustworthy prophetic ministry assumes you have an intimate relationship with the Lord, an intimate knowledge of the Scriptures, and an intimate fellowship with a local body. Without these things in balance, it is very difficult for an authentic kairos word to be given or received on any kind of a regular basis. Lastly, remember it's about intimacy and not mechanics. A lot of times God moves in a way and we want to replicate it. We'll try and arrange the chairs just the same way, put on the same music. We want to replicate it. And God just, He uses circumstances as a point of contact so lightning will strike. And you got to be fixated on the lightning, folks, not on the lightning rod. You can't replicate the circumstances necessarily. And you don't need to. Because just about the time you think you got the system down, He's going to mess with you. The reason He does that is to keep you intimate, to keep you off balance as far as thinking you got, you know, I do this and this and this and this, and then He's going to show up. Well, He's not going to move because you do this and this and this and this. He's going to move because He loves you. And He's going to move because you love Him. And you enter in to that relationship. You just open yourself up. You know, Lord, I just love You so much. I just want to hear from You. I want to know how to minister to this person. Just show me. We receive sometimes with our five senses. People will hear from God because one of their sense gates goes off. Quite literally. I've been in situations where I was praying for people and a healing unction came into the room, and there was just an overpowering aroma of cinnamon. Now, I'm not saying every time that healing smells like cinnamon, but a few times when I've been in a place where it just really rushed in, yeah, there was an aroma, literally a sweet aroma of cinnamon that showed up. Yeah. This isn't right. You know, something's not going well. You get a bad taste in your mouth. I have a sister that, when she was praying for some people, God showed her there was a cancer in this fellowship. And she kept smelling cigarette smoke. Is somebody smoking? Is there tobacco burning in here? She was very clearly smelling cigarette smoke. And God used that gate to show her there was a cancer developing in that fellowship because of things they continued to do that they would not stop. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Eat the scroll. I don't know if this will reach over here. Healing from touch, physical touch. I'd ask you to take a look at this thing when you get a chance, this talit. It's a Jewish prayer shawl. There are these long things. I'm just going to reach on there and show you. There are tassels on the tallit, and then there are a couple of long ones. There's regular length, and then there are a couple of long ones. The long ones, there's a prayer pattern that goes with it. I don't know that pattern, but I know the long ones are called the Messiah, or the Meshech tassels, and they have to do with the representation of the coming of the Messiah. And when you get to that point, you pray for the coming of Messiah. That passage in the Synoptic Gospels where the woman comes forward and she touches the hem of Jesus' garment, most scholars believe that she reached out and she snatched that tassel, that Meshach tassel. I'm going to get a touch from God, a touch. And that's the five sense gates, hearing from the five sense gates. Jesus had a palpable sense. I felt virtue flow from me. Aromas of life and death, eyes to see, ears to hear, the sound of the trumpet. There's lots of talk out right now about a sound from heaven. There is a dawning sound from heaven in worship. There's something different happening in worship. There's something here as we worship here last night and this morning. just, it's not just that you guys are more willing to be rowdy. That's fun. But there's something in your spirit that responds to a resonance that's coming. You know, God speaks and it sets something resonating in your spirit. Deep calling unto deep. There's a sound from heaven. A rising sound. And that rising sound is eventually going to rise to a shout, a trumpet of God that is going to release the very resurrection power of the Lord. And then finally, what you want to do, and we're going to deal with this some in the activation this afternoon. I already pointed out Carlton Kenney's book, and Kevin Connor. Carlton Kenney's another guy. Well, that's a slip from God. Look for anything you can find your hands on by Carlton Kenney. He is another powerful writer in the prophetic. K-I-N-N-E-Y, Carlton Kenney. I already pointed out Kevin Connor's book on scriptural imagery. In there, he talks particularly about the law of first mention, which is just a basic biblical interpretation principle, that if there's an image in Scripture and it's a little fuzzy to you what it is, go to your concordance, go back and find that image, and go back to the first time it's mentioned and read the first few passages where that image occurs, whether it's a color or an image or something. And usually you will find, not exclusively, but usually you will find that there is a theme throughout Scripture of interpretation that is assigned to that image. You know, that color means something. Like the color blue is a royalty thing, but it really has to do with heavenly authority. Okay, purple is a slam dunk. Purple is authority. Blue has to do with a release of heavenly authority. Okay, crimson is obviously, that's a blood thing. A lot of the colors have to do with the meaning behind the colors of the stones on the priest's breastplate. Okay, numbers have meaning. And you can find that in Scripture. There are examples that arise from your experience. I grew up farming, and I have spent the bulk of my adult life working as a builder. So God, when He gives me dreams, quite often speaks to me through images that are set in farming or building types of contexts. You find that in Jesus' ministry when He told parables. He spoke through builder examples and fishing examples. And He was obviously a guy who just loved the water because He relocated His ministry center to the seashore. Okay? So I like Jesus. I want a place by the beach. he speaks through stuff you're familiar with. And He will show you the supernatural significance of the imagery that you've been familiar with your whole life. Seed and how you plant seed and such. He will give you people as representatives. I talked already about that with Rick Joyner and how, you know, I will see Rick Joyner in a dream and he represents the prophetic. I saw Bob Jones in a dream one time dressed as a track coach with a whistle. And if you've ever seen or met Bob Jones, he's this little pudgy guy. About so tall, and athletics is the last thing that's on this guy's plate, okay? But, you know, he's out there teaching guys to run, and as they run, their legs turn to fire. And that's the thing that the prophetic is doing. It is releasing us into ministries to coach folks, to coach the next generation, to be spiritual fathers and mothers, to be Calebs and Joshuas for this coming generation, and to receive words ourselves and pour them out so that the runners take off in fire. And may they run with fire. I'll just leave you with that. Father, we just ask you to take these teachings, these words, ignite them with the passion of your heart and the fire from your altar, and make them a reality in the lives of the people here. Bless our time together the rest of this day. We just lift it all up to you and give you all the glory, because it is about you and it is about your glory and your presence. You just wash in here and fill this place with your cloud and your presence and the weight of your glory. More. Mas. Touch. Stir. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
You've been listening to Receiving Your Word, a bonus episode of the Marketplace Kingdom series on the Street Faith Podcast from the Empowerment Institute and One Rock Strategics. The bulk of this episode was originally presented as an address for a Western Michigan Regional Prayer Leaders Conference entitled My Sons and Daughters Shall Prophesy. Marketplace Kingdom and Street Faith are both productions of One Rock Strategic Media, and episodes are released for free online listening, download, and non-commercial redistribution under a 2016 Creative Commons copyright. To support our ministry, sign up for regular updates, or to inquire about having Dave Heisinger or DJ Swanger as guest speakers and trainers for your church or organization, contact us at empowermentfriends@gmail.com. You can like and follow our podcasts at onerockstrategics.podomatic.com and share them with your friends. Finally, remember, you are important to Jesus and His kingdom right where you are.
Okay. It's gonna be all right. I look around, everybody seems to think something's terribly wrong. But I think things are finally getting closer to finally right. Seems like everybody wants to prepare for the worst, but I don't agree. I've been looking around and I've been reading the signs, reading the signs. And I think it's gonna be alright. I hear the Spirit calling out to me, peace be still. Boy, you got to learn to be still. It's gonna be all right. I feel the trembling rising, feel the earth rumbling under my feet. I feel the wind picking up and it's beginning to blow across my face. Feel the air all crackling and tingling, full of lightning, just looking for a place to strike. Feel the darkness quivering, pulsing, straining, starting to buckle under the weight of the coming glory and light. You know there's a coming glory and light. Think it's gonna be alright. I hear the Spirit calling out to me, peace be still. Boy, you got to learn to be still. Gonna be all right. Now here it is, coming of the King of Glory. Said, here it is, open up and let him in. Here it is, the dawning of the third day coming. Resurrection power. Here it is. It's a shift into the season of the Most High God. Lord Jesus, catch us up into your presence. Catch us up into your cloud. Jesus, take us up into your presence now. Lord Jesus, catch us up into your presence. Catch us up into your cloud. Trembling, rising, feel the earth rumbling now under my feet. I feel the wind picking up and it's beginning to blow across my face. I feel the air all crackling and tingling, full of lightning, just looking for a place to strike. I feel the darkness quivering, pulsing, straining, starting to buckle under the weight of the coming glory and light. Under the weight of your coming glory and light. And I think it's gonna be alright. I feel hear the spirit calling out to me, peace, be still. Boy, you got to learn to be still. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.